Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
I'm going to talk to you today about the blood of Jesus Christ. How many of you know that's a very, very important subject, the blood? And Leviticus chapter 17 and verse number 11 from the King James Version. And we're going to partake of communion this morning. It's an open communion. If you've given your life to Jesus, you're more than welcome to join with everyone in this body to partake of communion together. It's open communion. And but Leviticus chapter 17 verse number 11 says, "For the life," say life, "for the life of the flesh is in the blood." How many of you know that's true? How many nurses do we have here in this place, and doctors, and how many brain surgeons do we have other than me? And I work on the brain. Yeah, there you go. Jaden is a brain surgeon. She does everything else around here. She might as well. And the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's interesting to me because have you ever heard someone say to you that the Word of God is alive? The Word is alive. Why is that? Because the blood is all the way from Genesis to Revelation. It's all the way through. Somebody said, well, you cut the Bible and it'll squirt out blood. But the blood of Jesus Christ, the life of the flesh, and may I say the life of the Spirit, is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar, Leviticus 17 says, to make an atonement for your sins, or to wash your sins away. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. And so I want to talk to you about the blood today, how important it is, and maybe I can give you some information on how to apply the blood of Jesus Christ and get the atonement in your life. The blood is mentioned 427 times in the Bible, and in the upper room at the Lord's Supper, where Jesus declared that it would be his blood that would be shed for the forgiveness of sin, Matthew 26 says, he took the cup and gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, This is an interesting story. He says, drink ye all of it. Drink ye all of it. I want you to remember that phrase, drink ye all of it. I'm going to talk about that here in just a little bit. For the blood is the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission or for the release from the guilt or the penalty of sins. Now, the Apostle Paul declared that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Now, that doesn't just mean without Jesus dying on the cross, there is no remission for sins. What that really means is unless you apply the blood of Jesus Christ into your life, there is no remission for sins. Hello. And so just singing beautiful worship songs or just going to church, just fellowshipping, just eating potluck dinners, all the stuff that we have, you know, that doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian, what gives you relief from your sins, forgiveness of your sin, is the application of the blood of Jesus Christ into your life. So how do you do that? You ask him to come in, forgive you of your sins, right? And the blood and lordship go hand in hand. So what happens when you know, Jesus said, not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of God, but they that do the will of my Father. And so when you ask Jesus to come into your heart and to forgive you of your sins, you are in the process of applying the blood of Jesus Christ into your spirit and into your heart and into your life. Hello? So you're in the process of it. It's a process. And so you ask him to come in, and then to complete the process, you pick up on the lordship of Jesus Christ. And you let him become the Lord of your life. And the Word of God becomes your rule of living. Can you say amen to that? Can you get that together? How do I apply the blood of Jesus Christ? You ask for forgiveness of sins, but beware. The Bible says that not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of God, but they that do the will of my Father. And so asking for forgiveness of your sins and then taking the Bible, the Word of God, and applying it to your life is the application of the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? And so you want to kind of check yourself here and ask yourself, is he the Lord of my life? Is the Word of God my rule of thumb? Is this what I abide by? Do I study the Word of God to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed of the Word of God? Hello. Or not be ashamed before the Lord. And so the Apostle Paul said that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. 1 Peter 1:18 says that we are not redeemed with silver and gold and precious stones, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't do enough to get salvation. You have to ask for forgiveness of your sins, and you have to repent, and you have to turn your life around. Repentance means to turn 180 degrees and go a different way with your lifestyle. How does that way of your lifestyle take you? According to the Word of God. Hello, thy word have I had in my heart that I might not sin against God. 1 John 1:7 says that it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. Over and over again in the book of Acts, there are four writers, and they declare that the essentials of the gospel of salvation is clearly this. It's his blood. It's his death. It's his burial and his resurrection from the dead. These are the central ingredients for eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Did you know that it's not really, what do they call that, politically correct to use the word blood in the church anymore? Did you know that? There are churches that don't even talk about the blood. Did you know that? The old rugged cross is kind of out of the picture in some of the churches. Because of the virgin birth, say virgin birth, of Jesus. Boy, that's a tough one to understand, the virgin birth, isn't it? Sometimes if your faith is going to be in question, sometimes if you begin to try to doubt where you're going in God, one of the things that might come up is the subject of the virgin birth. So how can that be? The virgin birth of Jesus is the very epitome of his righteousness, because he didn't have a earthly father to pass on impure blood, hello, sinning blood into him. And so the virgin birth is essential to understand. As Judas cried out this, and he said, I have betrayed innocent blood. His blood is innocent. At the trial, Pilate declared, I find no fault in him. Innocent blood. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 7, he is holy, he is harmless, he is undefiled, he is separated from sinners, and he is made higher than the heavens with innocent blood. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22 says, he who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And John added this, and he said, in him there is no sin. A natural father would have imparted the sin nature of Adam to Christ. And if he would have had a natural father other than the virgin birth, his death would not provide redemption. His death would not provide salvation. Because the virgin birth is absolutely essential to the salvation of our souls. And like I said, that's under attack today. It's under attack. The Bible clearly teaches that Jesus was born of a virgin. It says it like this, Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. They shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jeremiah talked about it years before, and he said, the Lord hath created a new thing. I like that. Upon the earth, a woman shall compass a man and bring forth a son without being with a man. A new thing. Yeah, that's new, all right. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, did just exactly that. You see, Jesus' blood is pure. And when the pure blood of Jesus is applied, the pure blood will cleanse you. Oh, I remember going to Haiti and working in the streets of Haiti, doing some missionary work over there, water short. And you know all about those things in some of these mission fields. I believe it's the first or second poorest nation in the world. And I remember going kind of up the hill into town, going all the way to the other end of town where they said they had some delicious coconut ice cream. So I walked across town. And on the way down there, coming down the hill in the gutter was dirty water. Used water, dirty water, all kinds of dirty, ugly water. And I remember watching people, especially children, I remember them watching them standing in that gutter with their feet damming up that dirty water and washing themselves, hello, with the dirty water. I didn't try that. But Jesus' blood is pure. And when you ask Jesus to come into your heart and life, and when you pick up the Word of God and take on the Lordship of Jesus, it provides cleansing. John said, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Did you know that sin is kind of dirty? Did you know that? You know, you can, I don't want to go there about the smell and the sight and all that stuff. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. One songwriter put it this way, what can wash away my sin? You know that one, don't you? And the guy says, what can wash away my sins? Coming to church every Sunday and paying tithes. No. Oh, what can wash away my sin? Working on City Love and serving food to the hungry. No. What can wash away my sins? Well, calling Pastor Block pretty or whatever she called me back there. I don't wash away your sins, but it'll sure help. Hello. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Remember what I'm telling you about the blood. Please get this if you get nothing else from this message today. The blood applied is the turning and going another direction, changing your lifestyle, asking God to forgive you of your sin. I believe that he's the Son of God, that he died on the cross, he was resurrected from the dead, and that he offered heaven to me as a free gift, and I will follow the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I will open the Word, I will apply it, and show myself approved unto God. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The blood is not enough just coming from the cross. It has to be applied to your life for it to count for you, for it to matter. And so I want you to get a grip on that, and don't ever forget this sermon about the blood. It's not just a nice thing. It's not just a wonderful story. It's not just the Easter resurrection story. It's have you applied the blood and have you asked forgiveness and have you taken his word and taken up the lordship of Jesus Christ where he is in charge of your life, not you. That's the application of the blood. Say amen to that. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this is what I see. For my cleansing, this is my plea. Nothing can for sin atone, naught of good that I have done. This is all my hope and peace. This is my righteousness. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand for that if you would. 1 Peter 1:18 said, the precious blood of Jesus Christ flowed and applied as a lamb without blemish and with spot. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the living God, which you have of God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit and in your life, which are God's. His blood is perfect and his blood is pure. One of the things I like about his blood that is perpetual. Thank God for that. Boy, you can study perpetual. So look it. You say, well, one thing about it, you get saved and then you backslide and then you're saved and then you backslide. What happens is you get saved and your sins are forgiven. Does anybody in this building have any problem with remembering your past? Does anybody have any problem with that stuff? Maybe it was yesterday's past. Maybe it was when you were a kid. Maybe it was when you were growing up more than a kid and act like a kid and called yourself an adult and did some really stupid stuff. And then you asked Jesus to come into your life and forgive you of your sins, and you picked up the Word of God and you began to apply the Word of God into your life, living your life that way. But way down in the back of your head, you keep remembering your sin. You can't seem to forget it. You can't seem to shake it. I don't know about you, but I've been there. I've done that. Whenever that happens to me, I wasn't always the nicest guy. Nicest looking, like Carol said, but not always the nicest. I was a preacher's kid, so that'll tell you something. You know the preacher's kids are the orneriest? You know why? They run with the deacon's kids. But Jesus' blood is not temporary. Boy, when you apply the blood, it cleanses from all sin. It's never to be remembered against you anymore. It's forgiven, it's forgotten, it's perpetual. So whatever sin you committed, however many times, whatever it did, and before we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, hello. There are none righteous, no, not one, but God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And his blood is perpetual. So what he forgave for you, and then 30 years later, you may have fallen to the same temptation that you fell back then, and you may have thought, well, see, I'm no good, you know, all this stuff. Well, I'm tempted to do this, and well, I did do that, and, you know, I thought for 20 years I was forgiven for that, and I never did it again, and now here I've done it again, so maybe the blood didn't cleanse me from it at all in the first place. Oh, yes, it did. Guess what? It's a brand spanking new temptation. It's not a leftover from something that Jesus has already forgiven, and you've picked up the Word of God. See, you're not kidding me. You ain't perfect. I know I'm not kidding you. Amen? Because I'm not perfect, but I'm forgiven. And here's the good news. It's perpetual. And in Hebrews it says, when he spoke of Jesus, our high priest, he needeth not daily, as earthly high priest, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. Why? Because he did this once and for all when he offered up himself as an eternal sacrifice over 2,000 years ago at Calvary on a hill far away on the old rugged cross. He established innocent blood, pure blood, perpetual blood, never lose its power blood. See, this is what happened in heaven when after Satan was cast out of heaven and one-third of the angels, and they set up imp society, and, you know, they began to tempt people and all this kind of stuff, talk to Eve and said, hey, baby, take a bite, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And then sin just went from bad to worse. It went even to worse, Sodom and Gomorrah, where it was so ugly there that the men of the city in homosexuality propositioned the angels to have sex with them. Hello. I mean, you talk about not good. And it just went downhill, 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 and downhill. And it's interesting that God, the Trinity, Jesus, Father, and the Holy Spirit, they looked in God. He looked on the earth and he noticed something. He noticed that there was not an intercessor on earth. What is an intercessor? An intercessor is someone who gets the job done. God looked down on earth and he saw there was no intercessor. Well, Jesus is our intercessor, and we don't know about that. When he's talking about one of the deep things about this intercession thing is this. Jesus looked down on earth and he saw that the only thing that worked against sin was animal sacrifices. Every year. They had to be perfect. They had to be without blemish. They had to be all that stuff. And God looked down on the earth, but Jesus said, there is no intercessor. And what he really meant by that is, there is no blood on planet earth that can save men perpetually and that can cleanse them from all unrighteousness and create forgiveness and forgive and create a clean heart. And the bad part about that is without forgiveness and without a clean heart, people can't communicate with me, God says, because I can't look upon sin. And so people who are full of sin can't talk to me because that's my very nature. And so God says to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, there's a short span in there from the time they drag the bull in. The priest puts his hand on the forehead of the bull and puts his hand on the forehead of the sacrificing person and forgives their sins, butchers, and gets blood all over the place. And guess what? They are forgiven. But guess what? On the way home, they did it again. Why? Because it really didn't matter, because they got a license to sin for the whole next year. Until the Day of Atonement again, right? And what God said to Jesus is, there's a little problem that we have down here. There's life in the blood, according to Leviticus 17:11. There's life in the blood. There's forgiveness in the blood. I've given the blood for the altar so that there can be remission of sins. But God looked at Jesus and Holy Spirit and said, but there's a problem down there. It's not pure blood. It's not holy blood. It's not innocent blood. So he planned the plan of salvation and brought the blood of Jesus Christ down to the earth. Before Jesus came and shed his blood, there was no perpetual forgiveness of sin. It was temporary. But now it's permanent. And the good news about this is that the Bible states that this man called Jesus would save his people from their sins after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Now, here's the interesting thing. Let's assume that you ask for forgiveness and you ask Jesus' life to come in and live in you. And then you pick up the word of God and you become a disciple and follower of Jesus. And he becomes the Lord of your life. Here's an interesting thing. All your past sins are forgotten. And here's another interesting thing. All your present sins are forgiven. And this one will blow your mind. All your future sins are forgiven. Huh? Oh, yeah, you're going to do it again. Something. Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I'm not just talking about your foot in the dirty water down the mountainside of Haiti. And if it was up to us and our purity to make it to heaven, none of us would make it. But because of his perpetual blood, all of us are made. I want you to put up Hebrews 10. That's kind of a foundation. I'm kind of starting to try to get to my sermon here. And so, having therefore, brethren, turn to the lady next to you and say, hi, sir. Lady, look back at him, and you surely don't mean that, do you, my friend? He said, no. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. Now, what is boldness to enter into the holiest? It's when you have a need and you want God to answer your prayer. You want to come boldly before the throne of grace, asking for help in the time of trouble. Now, let's assume that you are a half-hearted believer who doesn't really take the lordship of the Word of God, the lordship of Jesus, all that serious. Let's assume you're still in that mode of pick and choose. In other words, I love this Bible. Boy, I tell you what, it is so fun to dust that sucker off, you know. Or is the Bible something that every jot and every tittle, as God says, Jesus said, will not pass away until all be fulfilled? What does that mean? So everything in the Word of God, the do's, the don'ts, the promises, the yea and amen, they all belong to me. And taking on the blood of Jesus Christ demonstrates itself by functioning in obeying the Word of God equals having applied the blood of Jesus. Not all say, Lord, Lord, is going to make it, but those that do the will of the Father. So you put all this together equals blood application. And let's assume that you decided that you want to follow Jesus, and so you're going to do that. You're going to turn from your wickedness and your sin, and you're going to serve him, and you're going to obey him, and he is going to be the Lord. He's going to, any decision you make, he's going to give you the answer. Any place you go, he's going to tell you whether it's okay or not. Anything you say, he's going to convict you. That's either good or that's bad. You know, out of the same mouth can't come sweet water and bitter water, you know. You're either a curser and a dammer, or you're a praiser and a worshiper. You can't be both. They don't come out of the same mouth. You might say hallelujah, but if you're a curser and a dammer, it doesn't amount to anything. It's just phony words, hello. But if you decide to come out from the world and be separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and be a follower of Jesus Christ, the lordship of God, having boldness then to enter into the holiest by having asked for forgiveness and applied the Word of God, the blood of Jesus Christ. That gives you the ability to walk boldly into the throne room of God and say, look, I got a problem. And here it is. See, some of the times people don't get a lot of prayers answered because they haven't qualified to come into the holy place. Sometimes prayers are just going up in smoke because the blood hasn't been applied. Do you get my drift today? How many of you tell me hear what I'm saying? I'm talking about the blood of Jesus. how important it is. How important is your walk with God? How important is your walking in sanctification? How important it is to come out from the world and be separate, saith the Lord. How important it is to forsake not the assembling of yourself together. How important it is to bring your offerings of sacrifice to the Lord on the Sabbath day. How important is it to lay the Sabbath day aside? I'll tell you how important it is. The people who are under the blood of Jesus Christ, it comes natural. It comes natural. It's like a kid pooping his pants. It happens. By a new and living way. What's the new and living way? Well, it used to be animals and all that stuff once a year. But God looks down and says, I don't see an intercessor. I don't see any blood that's working down there. I don't see anything that's perpetual. Who'll go? Jesus said, I'll do it. I'll go to the cross. A new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil which is Jesus' flesh. Whether you know this or not, he was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Hello. He has consecrated for us a new and living way that we can go boldly into the throne of God through the blood of Jesus Christ and through the veil, his flesh. That is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Bingo. Let us draw near with a true heart. That's one whose the blood is totally applied. With full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. And our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, nothing wavering, for he is faithful. That is a promise. Any more than that? It's pretty good. So, I like this one. Provoke one another. Let us provoke one another. Yeah, well, she provokes me. Yeah, he provokes me. Well, yeah, they provoke me. No. Provoke one another unto good works. Provoke one another unto good works. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm provoking you to ask for forgiveness, to turn from your wicked ways, to pick up the word of God and start following with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Hello. So that you can join me and many others and go boldly into the throne room of grace. I'm provoking you. Do that. Not forsaking yourself together as the manner of some is. Exhort one another so that you, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Oh, the day approaching. What does that mean? Jesus is coming soon. So here's some really awesome, wonderful, incredible good news is this. This is how one songwriter put the story of the blood applied. There was a time in my life when I longed for peace of mind. I never pondered sin's price that must be paid. This life sin took its toil in wasted years, still unresigned. But on Jesus at the cross, my sin was laid. Verse 2. And then one day Jesus touched me, and I knew his life divine. Now he leads me down his path that's filled with his love. No more being alone. I'll sing his praise, for I feel him deep inside. Just knowing Jesus is worth more than anything. And the course, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Hallelujah. Not only was our past sin covered, our present sins are covered. Get a load of this. Our future sins are under the blood. And Isaiah chapter 44 says it this way. If you've never heard this before, I want you to listen to this one. I have blotted out as a thick cloud your transgressions. Now listen to this. And as a cloud, picture this cloud, I blotted out your transgression as a cloud, put all your sin in this cloud, the iCloud, what happens to that cloud? as a cloud, thy sins return unto me. Happy birthday, Jesus. Here, take a look at that mess. Here, you forgive my transgressions like a cloud. Guess what? Here comes another cloud. It's me, Larry Block. Yeah. He said, I really don't care. I was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement was upon me, and by my stripes you're healed. Guess what? You're forgiven. That's pure. It's wonderful. It's past. It's perpetual. Don't worry. You belong to me. You're my son because you have applied the blood and you have taken up the lordship of me in your life. Bring on the cloud. I don't care what's in it. It's forgiven. Woo, hallelujah. Devil, you're a liar. You ain't as smart as you think you are. Then God goes on and says, because I have redeemed you. What does that mean? He paid the price. He went to the cross. He shed his blood to buy you back from Satan. And if you haven't figured out Satan yet, the pleasures of sin are seasonal. The pleasures of sin are seasonal. So he says, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. I got to check. I'm just about ready to start my sermon. Oh, my God. The best part is yet to come. Thank you. Here we go. So I want to have you take a look quickly, and I'll just be a few more minutes here, about Exodus chapter 12. How is the standard and the procedure of the blood in totality applied? Exodus 12:12, Jesus says, I will execute judgment. For your sin that you will not put under the blood, for your life that you will not put under the lordship of Jesus Christ, God says, I am going to judge that. Because I am the Lord. And that word Lord, YHWH, in the Hebrew they wrote it that way because they couldn't give it a proper name because God was so awesome. But they ended up calling it Yahweh, YHWH. He said, I will execute judgment. I am Yahweh. It's the personal name of the living God. I am the Lord. And the word Yahweh, translated Lord, is found 6,823 times in the Old Testament and 700 times in the New Testament Greek as Kyrios, not Cheerios. And I think that name, Lord, is pretty awesome because it means it is his redemptive name. Listen to that. It is his redemptive name. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. And that is my proper name, but it is my redemptive name. And when you put that together, you understand that the only way you are going to find redemption and forgiveness and freedom and a new life in God, the only way is to make him Yahweh. Come in and be the Lord of my life. Come in and be my Yahweh. It goes on and it says this, that Yahweh is his covenant-keeping name. The only way that you're going to get God to keep covenant with you and to answer your prayers and deliver you and set you free and heal you and forgive you, the only way you are going to get his covenant blessing is when you make him Yahweh of your life. He must be the Lord of your life. Not just a casual offering of who you think he might be to you. It's his covenant-keeping name. In Leviticus, it's called the name. In Deuteronomy, it's called the glorious and fearful name, Yahweh. And to Moses, it was translated, Yahweh, I am. And to Moses, better translated, not only I am, but I will. That's Yahweh. That's when he's your Lord. He will. He is. He am. Hello. Why not join in the jubal and make him the Lord of your life today? Why don't you submit it all? He said to Moses, I'm Yahweh. I am who I am. Or I will be what I will be. And it indicates action. In other words, in the Hebrew, Yahweh, I am Yahweh, I execute judgment. I will show you who and what I am by who and what I shall be to you. For I will be with you. Tell him I am sent me. Hallelujah. Now Abraham, he knew him as El Shaddai, God Almighty. Oh, I love God Almighty. But I'm glad I know him more than just God Almighty. I know him, Yahweh. He is my Lord. I've committed my life to him. I will follow him to the death. So today, we declared March 24th, 2019, the first day of spring. 'Tis the season to have the first day of spring. Wow, wasn't it wonderful? A day in which to participate in the partaking of Holy Communion, our very first Sunday of spring. And I'm going to ask you to bow your head just for a moment. I want to ask you to search your heart and try your ways. Say, you know, I'm kind of understanding the message of the blood. 10 more times on the podcast, I think I'll have it. But there's something stirring inside of me that says, you know, I want Jesus to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. And across this building, I want to ask you that question. Maybe you've never done this before. Maybe this is your first time. Maybe you're just a church mouse or a pew, and you haven't really surrendered your life to Jesus. But you say, you know what? From this moment on, I surrender all. I want you to lift up your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. I'm going to surrender it all. I've been holding back part of me. I've been holding back part of this. I'm jumping in all the way today. Heavenly Father, I just pray for those whose hands are lifted. Father, we just jump in 100-fold, 100%. We ask you.